Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Morningscape podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Doug Levy, here with just DJ today. I guess we could say aloha from Matt as well, because he's in Hawaii for the week, not being able to play fantasy sports. But we're going to be going over the March 2nd slate on NHL. It's 10 games, but I think the bigger story right now is, at least today and yesterday, has been trade deadline news. So, DJ, do you have any good trade deadline fantasy relevant takes to give us?
Wow. Yes, I do. I mean, obviously, you can listen to any other podcast. You can go on. There's a ton of articles about, you know, like all the trades that went on. There's winners, there's losers. I like a lot of the deals for some teams. My Buffalo Sabres didn't really do anything, which was kind of sad. But if you want to read about that and listen to that, it's everywhere. But we're just here for DFS, so let's just get started with three names, maybe four. I have three that I'm really interested in, and then a fourth that kind of a wait-and-see type of candidate, but that I think are definitely more DFS relevant now that they're on a new team. Number one, Sven Andraghetto. He got traded from Montreal to Colorado. Obviously, we don't know where he's going to slot in, but this is a guy I think has a lot of skill, a lot of speed, and could end up getting some big minutes for Colorado. Obviously, they're terrible. They moved out a couple guys, and will hopefully slot into the top six and maybe even power play time. So I'm interested in looking what he does. He's extremely cheap. Actually, I don't know where he's. Let me just look if he's on the slate for tomorrow. Yeah, he's on Colorado. It looks like he's going to play. He is 3.1K. So that's one name I'm going to keep an eye on. The next one, who is on the slate tomorrow at 2.7, is Nikolai Khudobin. I mentioned him before. I think he is an incredible talent, really good shot. One of his only starts this year was against Arizona. He was a San Jose Sharks prospect. He had four shots on goal in 11 minutes, so you know he's down to shoot the puck whenever he gets a chance. He got traded from San Jose to Vancouver, and now he's playing back in San Jose with Vancouver, if that all made sense. So a bit of a narrative as well. I don't know where he'll slot in, but obviously Hansen left. If he slots in with those two Sedins, I can guarantee he's in my lineups. I think he will really be able to, you know, grow into a nice little player for them. I really like that trade. The next one is Teemu Palkkanen. He got traded over to Arizona. Arizona now is just really bare bones. Palkkanen is a guy that kind of gets a bad rep for his defense, because he doesn't really play much of defense at all. He's got a good shot, definitely knows how to bury the puck. He has a really good AHL career going, but I think now on this new team, he might be able to. Actually, it doesn't look like he's on the slate tomorrow, but this is a guy to keep an eye out for the future. And then the last one, also, is he on the slate tomorrow, is Curtis Lazar. This is a top-end prospect. Doesn't look like he's on the slate tomorrow, but top-end prospect for Ottawa. He's been pretty bad as of late. Only 4 points all season between the AHL and the NHL. But he obviously has a lot of skill. He was a 17th overall draft pick. A lot of people thought he was a blue chipper. And I'm really excited to see what he can do and where he slots in. Maybe Calgary has an idea about what could get this player going and who to put him with. So that's just four names that I think have gained a lot of relevance in my eyes.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think another thing, we were talking about it before, but I think another thing to keep an eye out for is not necessarily the guys who are traded, but the role changes for the guys who are on the teams too. You might not think, oh, this guy's line didn't lose any players or whatever, but I know coaches are going to need to change the lines around to get these new players in, and that doesn't always mean keeping everything exactly the same as it was before and doing a one-for-one switch out of the guy they got. So be on the lookout for guys that you normally play or who normally play a certain position, maybe switching up the lines and things like that. And who knows about time on ice too. That's another thing that can be kind of up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's some of the bigger name DFS players we mentioned, like Thomas Vanek, and he's going over to Florida with no idea where he's going to be. So I feel like his role might not change much. Same with Patrick Eves, like a guy we talk about a ton. I don't know how his role will change. So those are guys that are obviously still on the radar, but they're not guys that are becoming on the radar. So I didn't really want to mention them. But yeah, I agree with you. There's one guy at center that I know we want to touch on that I think his role is definitely increasing with the subtraction of another player. So let's just get right into centers. Doug, you want to read off the games first, though?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So our games for tomorrow, I'm just getting them up here. All right. We have Arizona at Buffalo, Philadelphia at Florida, Minnesota in Columbus, New Jersey in Washington, the Rangers in Boston, Colorado in Ottawa, Nashville in Montreal, Islanders in Dallas, Toronto in LA, and then Vancouver in San Jose. So I think there's a couple games in there that are definitely, at least on my radar, in terms of could be really high scoring games. I don't think there's very many Vegas lines out yet for tomorrow, but that's something I will be paying close attention to. Something I've been noticing recently that I know we've been talking about in our group meet, but how much Vegas lines drive ownership percentage. So be on the lookout for that, especially if you're a tournament player and things like that. Those high over-under games, that's what people really notice. That big number, like a six, really drives ownership. So see what Vegas thinks of the games before I make my final decisions on who I'm going to play, just because guys get a huge ownership boost if their games are favored by Vegas.
Yeah, no, definitely. So. I mean, I think it's for good reason sometimes, but a lot of times we'll kind of notice a matchup that Vegas doesn't love and we wonder why, and I think those are good games to target. If you have a good feeling about a matchup, and maybe if you have your own predictive model that has a good feeling about a matchup and Vegas doesn't love it, that would be a good one to throw a GPP flyer on. You know, maybe a game stack there that no one will really have. So I definitely like that insight. But we'll get into centers now. At the top tier, we have, I mean, obviously the usual suspects. Eichel at the top of the list without McDavid and Crosby and those guys. I mean, I like Eichel and GPP in this matchup. He's been the model of consistency as well for cash. I think against Arizona, he's a fine play. I think the Sabres are going to come out firing. They've been, you know, three straight letdowns that have really taken him right out of playoff contention. But I think I'm interested in Eichel, but I'm not locking him in by any means. What do you think about the top tier?
Yeah, no, I really don't think that there's a lot going on here. I mean, some of the guys that are at the top of the Sims list are guys that salaries have been steadily increasing over the last week or so, which I don't like to see in guys that I'm going to pay that much money for. The guy I do like probably the most, if I had to pick, would be Patrice Bergeron. He's at 7.2, which is high for him. I think I'm correct there. It's pretty high for him, but he has had two games in the last three where he's had 10 plus individual Corsi in those games. So, I mean, he's shooting the puck like crazy, and they get to play against Arizona. Correct? No, sorry, not Arizona. I don't know why it said Arizona. They're playing against the Rangers, but I think that this will be a good game for him. And I really don't love that many of the other big centers. Like Tavares, his prices remain stable, but I think it's gone up. Barkov's price went way up, even though I do like him a little bit. I know we talked about him a little. I don't hate Eichel. Ryan O'Reilly, interesting, is only at 6.3, but the Sim really seems to think that he's a good value. So, I mean, he's somebody to pay attention to. His salary has also gone up considerably recently, but he's had...
Oh, go on.
No, I'm just looking through the list right now, but yeah, no, I'd say if you want to pay up huge for a center, I think that Bergeron is a good play, but I think there are higher price centers that I would lean on before I paid way up for one of these centers. And on a slate this big, there's going to be guys to pay up for, so I'm not too insistent on playing a huge price center and then getting wasted so much extra money on him. I wait for these centers' prices to come down a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you have the money for one of these top-tier guys, I'd go Eichel 1, Bergeron 2, Tavares 3. With those top three. And then honestly, I'm not interested in Backstrom, especially not in cash. I'm not interested in Carter. I know we normally target against Toronto, but I'm just not that interested. I really don't target LA that much. And I don't target the teams against them very much. So I think that might be a bit of a letdown game. But we can move on to a little bit cheaper now. We could get down the list a bit. I think Vincent Trocheck in that next kind of tier is probably my favorite against Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia trades Mark Streit, and I just feel like they're already pretty bad defensively. Trocheck's been pretty consistent. Hold on. I have so many tabs open right now. I'm trying to find the one I was just looking at 1 second ago. Okay, yeah, nothing doing here. There it is. He has 31 shot attempts in the past five games, which is a pretty good number. Obviously, like six shot attempts is always great. So I think he is definitely like maybe the first guy in cash I'm going to look to have. You there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is there anyone in the mid tier? Maybe we'll just say below 6'5" that you're more interested in that we have. Yeah, we haven't mentioned anyone else.
Yeah. The next guy that I liked was Kopitar playing against Toronto. But he's 5'1", 13 individual Corsi per 60 in the last month. But most interestingly, his price, although his Corsi numbers have actually been pretty much average for him, his price has gone down from almost 6K down to only 5'1" now. So he's one of those guys that I think he's getting priced down while he's not playing that poorly. And I think he draws a really good matchup against Toronto where he's going to be able to shoot the puck a lot. And he's a guy that generates a lot of expected goals, which is just a term for good scoring chances and Corsi kind of combined together. So I think that he's a good play in that middle center tier, a much more reliable guy, in my opinion. He's someone that I wouldn't be afraid playing in cash.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I like MacKinnon okay in this range. He's kind of been hot and cold, and I think he might be back on that hot streak. He's at a fair price. I think if you like just took all the players and you listed them by skill and you looked at the price next to them, I think MacKinnon's skill way exceeds his price. And that might be why I'm kind of going towards this way. The Sim also kind of it seems to like him a lot. I always like MacKinnon. I think he is an excellent player. So that might be more of like a bias of I think he's extremely skilled. I don't mind the matchup with Ottawa. I don't love the matchup with Ottawa, but I really just don't see myself paying for many other guys in this area. I think if you want to go that Nashville first line stack in GPP and you can ride the point chasers with Johansson, go for it. Stephon against Boston, I'm not that interested in that game at all, except for maybe Bergeron. I just feel like in this area, it's kind of bleak, and MacKinnon's kind of that bright spot for me. I like Kopitar okay, but we can move down the list a bit. We could get maybe to Derek Brassard. I think, again, he's against Colorado, a good play, but I wanted to see how the lines shake up. I saw a tweet about the Lions, and there's obviously some holes and some new players coming in. So tomorrow's going to be a huge day where if you're not checking the Lions and checking what's going on with every team, you know, you're going to miss out on some vital information. So I'm waiting and seeing on Brassard where he slots in, but if it's still him and Stone, I'm interested.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's tough to know exactly what the lines are going to be the day before. I mean, we've talked about it before, but HockeyViz is a great tool to be able to see what the lines were last game. But when you're dealing with big lineup shaking in between games, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. So, I'd just like to echo that you got to be on it tomorrow. It'll feel more like an NBA slate tomorrow almost.
Yeah. Daily faceoff, left wing lock, just open them up, keep them open, and keep checking them.
Yeah, you want to go down a little bit lower. One guy I'm just looking at here is Brock Nelson. He's only 4,000 on DraftKings, although he was up at 5'1" a month ago. He played last game with Bouvier and Strome. And I'm always on Strome. I like him as a creator too, but at $4,000, I think that's not a bad place. And playing up against Dallas to drive the pace, that's a good matchup to exploit. And I like how cheap his price is. I mean, we're getting down there a little when we talk $4,000, but I don't mind him at all. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, definitely. I've been on him a lot lately. I think that line two stack for the Islanders is just so cheap. And it's a great matchup against Dallas. Yeah, I'm all over that. I think that's going to be I think some sharp guys will have that stack, like Nielsen and Strome. Also, just kind of looking over on FanDuel because we've just completely neglected it. Eichel's, he's the fifth cheapest center on FanDuel, same price as Bergeron. And then Trocheck is a lot cheaper. He's the same price as MacKinnon over there at 5'8". So I think Trocheck's a really nice value over on FanDuel. And then other than that, I think there's just any other guys we named that are super values. I mean, yeah, and this seems pretty on par with the rest. So definitely Brock Nelson. I don't think he might not be the safest cash play, but at this price, I don't mind it. Power play two time, all that good stuff. So yeah, the next guy, this is more of a stackable option, I think, for Dallas. Cody Eakin. He centered Ben and Sagan last game. Obviously, that this take is contingent on that staying together, which who knows with Dallas, but I think that'll be a pretty fun game to watch. Bit up tempo, Dallas likes to play, and the Islanders' goaltending has been shaky all year. So I think if there's one line you want to target that could go off, it could be that line one Dallas. And if it's Eakin and Ben, or Eakin and Sagan, or all three of them, which you might be able to afford if we give you some more savings down the line, I don't mind those stacks. So I think you have the next guy on the list.
I really like Eakin in that position there. It's too easy. I could get an assist if you put me with Jamie Benn and Tyler Sagan. So for what is he, 3.9? I think that's a great deal. But the next guy that I have, and I think the guy who kind of benefited a lot from the trade of Hanzel, was Peter Holland, who's up playing on the first line with Domi and Verbata.
I would assume they skated today. I'm gonna look up their lines while you talk about Holland though.
Yeah, okay. Peter Holland, he had played 10 minutes in his last two games of being like kind of a third liner, and in those two games, I thought this was interesting, in the two games that he was playing his lesser role, he had 18 and 20 Corsi 4 per 60, and now he's playing twice as many minutes, so he's on the season, he's a 12 Corsi 4 player per 60, but he's been playing a lot better recently, and he's getting twice the minutes that he had before playing with better players. So I think that he's in a great position. His price is just too low to ignore. And I mean, he's seeing literally double the minutes he was seeing before at 3.3. So I don't think that his price is caught up to the role that he's going to have for Arizona. I mean, albeit it's Arizona, but 3, he could play for an AHL team and I would take him. So
no, I agree with that. I thought it was really weird today. Radim Vibrata, at one point, like, he'd been traded, it seemed like. I saw a few accounts that, I mean, they weren't fake accounts and they weren't confirmed, like, real big-time accounts. And they were saying, like, done deal, he's going to Montreal. And I guess that trade fell apart. Like, it was like people thought it was going to happen. And then all of a sudden it was gone. Also, another note about, Holland is Alex Burmistrov is likely to miss. I mean, he got hit really, really hard by Kevin Miller. Kevin or Colin, I think it was Kevin Miller.
I think it was Kevin, yeah.
And he did not skate in the morning skate they had at Buffalo. That was more of an afternoon skate, really. So I am not seeing anything on the lines exactly. It seems like it was more of an optional sort of type skate. Wasn't anything where they, you know, ran full units and stuff, but they might tomorrow. But yeah, Holland should get big minutes, like minutes that make you, I wouldn't say have to put him in your lineup by any means, but
no, I just think, like, he's a safe,
I think it's cash viable price.
Yeah, I wouldn't go chasing him in GPP just because I don't think that Arizona has that much upside in general. I think he's a cash only option for me, at least. I know people love to, in GPPs, just stack bad teams and hope they go off. We have to realize that bad teams are bad for a reason, and just because they're low owned doesn't make them really good. Like Arizona, when they win, they don't win 25-0. They get lucky or something like that. So I can't remember a single game that Arizona's won 25-0 this year.
You heard it here first, folks. I have not. Wait, I have one more take though. That I noted, something I just remembered actually. Were you done or are we still going?
No, go ahead.
Right at the same price range, Zemgus Girgensons centered Kane in last practice. So I think that puts him in play, especially if I see those lines roll out tomorrow in practice, and that might be one you have to wait for warmups, but I think that puts him in play. It might be a bit like point dependent type of play, and it might be something that I would say stack only, but I don't mind Girgensons as a player at all, watching him in Buffalo. But I mean, there's times where he is kind of non-existent, and then there's times where he really shows up and has a great game. I say that's kind of the knock on him, but if he's going to center those two players, like, you got to consider it, and you could put him with Evander Kane, and feel pretty good about yourself, I think, if those lines roll out together. But okay, we can move on from center now. I think that pretty much sums it up.
Oh, I had one more person I wanted to mention. As a bottom of the barrel, more of maybe a GPP style play would be Mikhail Grigorenko. He's at 3-2. His minutes jumped pretty considerably. He played 9 minutes against Nashville 2 games ago and played 16 minutes last game, plus power play time on the first line with Duchesne. They saw the majority of the power play time. So he didn't play with McKinnon, Ratton, and Landeskog, but he did play with Duchesne, and they saw more time than the other line did, looking at Hockey Viz. 3-2, a guy who plays that much power play time, if he's projected to play that same role that he did last game, I think that he's very underpriced for a guy that's going to play that many minutes. I mean, before that, he was playing 11 minutes, 12 minutes a game, but it appears maybe he may have taken on a larger role. And, I mean, I know that he has been struggling this year a little bit, but I don't see a lot of other scoring talent on his line with Bork and Martinson. So he's just somebody to maybe, if you need an out there guy, he's seeing a lot of minutes. He has possibly more upside for his price.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is kind of, if you got 2.7, Joshua Hosang did get called up for the Islanders. He's one of their more top-end prospects. I don't see him playing too much, but I guess if you're at 2.7 at center, you probably reevaluate, but Joshua Hosang is at least going to play. So we can move on to the way.
Warm bodies on the ice at 2.7, you're going to be happy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, but I think it seems to me that it's not been his playing ability in Bridgeport, the AHL team. It's more been his work ethic and his inability to maybe act professionally that's kind of been prohibiting him from being called up. So I would just keep an eye on it in morning skate. If he maybe moves in on that line too with Brock Nelson and Brian Strome or something like crazy, you know what I mean? But we'll move on the wing.
I was thinking about something sort of random, but I was just thinking about it looking at these plays. I know we've been talking about how previous game performance affects ownership percentage a pretty good amount, and trying to put a quantity on that can be tough. But we've been a model that I've been creating the last week or two has been doing a pretty good job of that. And be on the lookout for players that have been playing really well, but maybe have one game where they've been down, because it appears that people who play DraftKings, at least from the data that I've been looking at, when players have one bad game, people love to get off those players so quickly. They're on and off them in one bad game. So I think it's good to evaluate like trends. Like I know how you've been talking about in another program that we created that you can see the past 10-day courses, see trends like that, not just what did they do last game or whatever, because Bergeron had one Corsi last game, but he's had 10 twice in his last 3 games before that. So maybe he'll be a little less owned because of that. That's just something I was thinking about, but
yeah, no, I agree.
So yeah.
And the Rangers defense
last game.
Finish. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the Rangers defense is like extremely banged up right now, that they had to make a trade to go pick up Brendan Smith. Yeah. And I think, you know, Marchand, Bergeron, it's an expensive stack, but it's there. It's an option. So yeah, I was just going to mention that like tomorrow, actually that'd be the worst idea to target some Boston players. The Rangers will be missing, let me look, Kelvin Klein, Dan Girardi, and I think that might be it, with Brendan Smith moving in. So they'll have like Glenn Denning, who's been terrible, Nick Holden, Brendan Smith, other right-handed shots. Mark Stahl's been awful. Brady Shea is a good DFS kind of guy, but whatever. And then McDonough kind of the only anchor on that team. So, yeah, I don't mind that.
All right. You want to give me your top wing choice?
I think Max Pacioretty for cash is just where I'm going to start. Pulling up that same output sheet I had. Again, he has 37 shot attempts in the past 5 games, which is tied with Kucherov. No. Kucherov has that same amount in 4 games. Kucherov's even more lit, but he's right at the top of the leaderboard. And like as of recent play, just been firing the puck from everywhere and dominating Corsi. So, I mean, you look at his game log, I think he'll be really popular. 8 shots on goal, 6 shots on goal in the past 3 games. And Nashville, it's a good team, but I really don't know if they have a shutdown role type of line that is going to road, so they can't match it up the way they want. I think Pache is in a great spot. The first line for Nashville is kind of a bit, not, I wouldn't say notorious, but a bit known for giving up goals, even though they score a ton themselves. So I like Pacioretty and Montreal in this game. I think Nashville might cool off a little bit, and Pacioretty is probably my starting point for cash.
Yeah, no, I like that play a lot. I think the guy that I'm going to be most on is Jamie Benn. I know we talked about it before, but I mean, he's had, what is it here? He's had more than 3.5 DraftKings points in all of his last four games. Playing with Sagan, I just don't think that you can ignore him. And I think that he is one of the most, he's the highest projected center on the board for the sim tonight. He's someone that I don't think that I can ignore in such a good position playing with such talent.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think, you know, Ben and Sagan are going to drive that line all day, and the Islanders are an average NHL team at best. So I definitely enjoy the take. What about Oshie here? Why is he day to day? Do you know? It says he's unlikely to play tomorrow. He hasn't played the past two games. I know that, but just a quick disclaimer. I've had three finals in the past 3 days, so I've not been playing because they've all been 6 to 8. So I've been like really out of the loop, and I'm looking today and I'm like, wow, like taking 3 days off is awful. And you get out of the test and you have nothing to be excited about, and it's really sad, but I'm back, you know? So I got to figure it all out.
Yeah. Capitals tweeted that Oshie is quote unquote close to returning.
I still can't believe they got Shattenkirk without giving up one of their top prospects. That kind of blows my mind, and it's a really nice deal there. I'd be happy about that if I was a Caps fan. Really happy. They got maybe the best six defensemen in the NHL. Nice seventh.
Me scratch my head a little bit, but
I thought if I'm the Blues, I'm saying if you don't give me Ilya Samsonov, I'm not making this deal. Ilya Samsonov being maybe the best goalie prospect in the NHL. This is a team in search for a goalie, and Samsonov has like a .936 save percentage in the KHL. It's like 21. I don't know. Whatever. We don't need to talk about that. This isn't a prospect show. We can move on down the list. Doug, Philippe Forsberg, are you targeting him? Are you off him? Like, what are your thoughts on the hottest player in the NHL?
I am so far off him that you couldn't see me if you were standing next to him. I don't like to chase points, and I think he's the prime example of it. I mean, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but there's a reason that he hasn't done this every single night for the entire season. It's because he's not in his, like, core statistics. He's not that good. He's not good enough to be putting up hat tricks every game. I am sure when you go on tomorrow that the ownership percentage will reflect as if everyone thinks that he will put up a hat trick every game. So I just don't. He scores another one next game, or if he scores a goal and five assists or whatever, I'll eat my words, but I still won't even think it's worth it at that point. He's just going to be so high owned. He's going to pull ownership away from some of these other guys. I'm just excited to take advantage of that and hope he gets 0 points.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a candidate for a zero, but I think he's a candidate for a 1 point kind of game. I mean, it's not like the guy is just a shoot from anywhere, you know, shoot all over the ice type of player. I mean, you look at his game log, you go back a little bit. He has a couple games in there with 1 and 2 shots right before he got like extremely hot. So I think I'm definitely off of him. I'm not even going to make a stack. I mean, Carey Price probably in net as well. Montreal team that is with a Claude Julien, more of a shutdown guy. Everything leads me away from him. So just wanted to get that take out there, and I enjoyed it. So,
I was going to say a shameless plug. If you guys are interested, I've been giving out information from the sim, packaged up, easy to read, for 2 weeks now. And it's been going really well. People really seem to like the content that's been coming out, and it's all free. I just email it to you. But we've been doing ownership projections last week, and they've been really accurate. So you can tune in tomorrow if you want to get on that email list, and you can see just how high owned I predict that Forsberg will be. So we use an algorithm to determine ownership, and by we, I mean me. But yeah, and so I'm excited to see what it says he's going to be tomorrow, because it's just pretty ridiculous what he's been doing.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you for the plug. So we'll move down the list though a little bit, get into more of the mid-tier range. I don't think I had anyone loaded up. Do you have a guy loaded up in the mid-tier for winger?
Yeah, you can look for one. The guy that I like is JVR. He's gone from 6'6 to 5'5 in the last month, and his fantasy points per game have only dropped about a half point since then. So, I mean, he's definitely not playing as poorly as his salary might indicate. In the time that his salary's dropped, he's averaging 20 iCorsi 4 per 60 in those games. Or he has a 20 iCorsi 4 per 60, I should say. So, I mean, that's crazy high for a guy who's 5'5". And that sort of points towards why he used to be 6'6". In his last five games, his individual expected goals, just alone, his own contribution, have been 0.5, 0.3, 0.4, 0.5, 0.2. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's like almost half a goal per game in expected goals per game, if you understand that statistic. That's just crazy. That's a ton of production. He's on a line that's getting a lot done. So I really don't see the reason why his salary has gone down. And I was just looking, and Okposo, I think, I don't know if for anyone that's been listening pretty religiously to the podcast, about 2 weeks ago, I said that Okposo's price was way down and it hadn't gone up in a long time, even though his fantasy points per game had been pretty steady. Since the day that podcast came out, his salary has done nothing but rise since then. I guess the people at DraftKings listen to the Morning Skate podcast. So hello to whoever's listening.
No, they definitely do. I mean, it's a known fact, I think.
Along with most NHL players.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, they all have to listen. I mean, like, how could you not listen? It's more of the point I think we're making here. It's like, all right, hold on. I'm trying to do – oh, my God. All right, sorry. I'm messing everything up I'm trying to do. Just you can – do you have anyone else? Actually, I have a guy that's a bit cheaper. I mean, there's a lot of good guys in this range, I think. We always like Hoffman. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't be on Hoffman tomorrow going against Colorado. I mean, Ottawa's a team that is still fighting for their right to be in the playoffs. I mean, they're in it right now. Colorado, you know, anyone's really in play. But Hoffman, definitely a guy that I like to target all the time. His price isn't too astronomical where I wouldn't be on him. I think down the list a bit more, yeah, Okposo, you already mentioned. So, and then I think JVR, I never like to target guys against LA, but I think his price has really dipped down to where I'm almost, he was up at 6'6 on February the 11th, and now he's on the 5'5. Maybe it might be next game for him where I really start putting him in my lineup again, but I don't mind him at all either. Those are kind of just a few names that I'll throw out there. JVR, James Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, that's who I said.
Oh, you did say him?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. I zoned. I was trying to fix something that I did. And go on.
Yeah, no, you're good. I was just going to mention one guy that I'm going to be shying away from tomorrow is Kyle Palmieri. I was on him for the last big slate, and he put up 8, and he put up 8.5 the slate before that. And for that reason, he put up 8 four games. So he's put up 8 in 3 out of his last 4 games, and I that's going to drive his ownership up, and I think that just seems a little bit unreasonable for him. I'm going to wait and kind of wait for the masses to get off him again. He's someone that, like, you may say, oh, he's a decent projection tonight or whatever, but I think that his ownership will drive his projection down a little bit for me. So just somebody to keep an eye on. I wouldn't play him unless you really had to, just because he's been so incredibly hot. I mean, not Forsberg hot, but hot for a guy who's only 4'7".
Yeah, no, definitely. I think in that range, this is, again, contingent on what lines change and whatnot, because Vanek just got traded to this team, but Marchessault has been pretty hot. Maybe the last game he didn't really the minutes you might want to see, but before that, he has been, you know, looking really good. Oh my God, I just had the stat up. But I really think it depends on what's going to happen tomorrow. But at 4-9 against Philadelphia, I think this guy has a good amount of talent, and he's in a decent spot for a stack. It just depends on who he's with. I don't think I'll have him in cash at all, but I think that line has been a pretty good stackable option with him and who is the guy that I got to look it up now. Hold on, give me 3 seconds. It was Marchessault, Bukestad, and Skeevier. I think it really depends on who ends up playing where tomorrow, where I'll end up, like who and where I'll end up on, but I don't mind March or so.
Yeah, no, I like that. You want to go on to the low price wingers?
Mm-hmm.
The guy, I mean, I don't love any of the low price guys, but Ryan Strome, we see here at 3.7. We talked about Nelson. He was skating with Nelson last game, so I don't hate him at 3.7. And then Adrian Kempe didn't play last game. He was a healthy scratch. He was listed in the lineup all the way up until game time and then didn't play. No real word, I guess, or at least I haven't heard on why that was, but he doesn't appear to have been sent back down to the Ontario Reign. So I would keep him in mind. He's actually been playing pretty well. If he continues to play up on the top lines as he has been, he was playing with Kopitar Toffoli. He's a guy I don't hate at 3-1. Anybody else that you like down here?
I mean, honestly, it's kind of funny. In this range, there's a ton of guys that got traded. It's, you know, you got Burrows and Ginla and Hanson's, like a bunch of guys, I guess, got traded. It's like, I don't know where they're going to be. It's hard to, you know, pinpoint one of them. So I think this range, it's more of a wait till tomorrow range for me and see where players are going to slot in. I mean, there's a lot of more of our podcast favorites with like Bjorkstrand and stuff, but he's kind of cooled off a bit. I'm not really sure if I'm on anyone down here right now. I think I'd rather take my savings at center with Holland or potentially even Gergensen's and pay up a bit more at wing with the guys we've already mentioned. So I think there are some guys down the list that are in play, which would be Nikolai Khudobin. It does kind of depend on where he lines up. If he's on the fourth line, obviously not, but if he somehow gets top six role, I think he's an excellent play. He's a really good, talented young winger. If you have anyone, I'll pull up his stats from the AHL. I know they're pretty good. So if you have anyone down here.
Speaking of AHL guys, Peter Celerik. I don't know how to say that.
Yes. You're pretty much right on, I think.
Celerik. He was a recent call for Boston, but he played last game with Krejci and Pasternak, got top 6 minutes, played power play with on the second power play line. And he has been really, really good in the AHL, averaging over 2 shots per game. So he's a guy for super cheap. He's a nice, actually 3-4. His price has gone up a little bit, but I still think he's a good value for top six Boston. If you like that, I'm saying a lot of Boston, even though I don't really love that matchup. I guess the Sim really likes it a lot more than I do, but yeah, he's somebody to pay attention to. He's one of those guys that I don't think that his DraftKings price can really encompass his whole amount of skill yet, because he's only played, what, like 5-6 games? Yeah, seven.
Yeah, no, it's
7 games, and one of them he didn't play very many minutes in. So, but yeah, he's been a star in the AHL for the Providence Bruins. So, he's a guy I'd at least keep an eye on in this lower range if we're looking for players.
Khudobin, though. Hold on, let me pull it back up. I don't want to be misquoting. 41 points in 46 games for the San Jose Barracuda. I did read a tweet, and I'm pretty sure I retweeted it as well, that he was going to be playing for the Canucks tomorrow. Like, confirmed he's in. So we're talking about an almost point-a-game player in the AHL. 10 of those goals. I don't know. I'm definitely going to, if I have a one-off type of play tomorrow that, like, I need some cap savings, that'd be the one winger I'd look at. And then there's one more guy, but I just want to double-check. I think I'm good. I think there's some guys down here that it really depends on roster moves for tomorrow and if anyone moves to a different line. And, you know, where is Victor Stahlberg going to slot in? Not that I think he's a DFS-relevant player that much, but if he's slotting in with a crazy good line, you can consider him in a stack. But I don't think there's anyone else that's really cash-relevant down here.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. We can move on to defenseman if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm down. So top of the list, we have a lot of the we do have Brent Burns. Ooh, man, Brent Burns, Carlson night. Always Burns all the time.
And Josi. Yeah. Josi had 8 last game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, honestly, there's, and John Carlson's been red hot. He has a ton of shot attempts. He has if I can pull it up, 38 in the past five games for John Carlson. So I think, again, as we have mentioned, John Carlson might not be the best stack with an Ovi type of player, but maybe him with, well, he had 10 shots on goal against Nashville. That's really what's driving that up. But Carlson, he could be a one-off, could be just a cash play in general, but okay. Top of the list, Brent Burns against Vancouver. I think that's a pretty smash type of play. You could fill in two of those punts we mentioned, and I still get a lineup you feel pretty good about. So what do you think up here?
Yeah, I know. I like Burns. I'm a little skeptical of how slow the pace is in Vancouver. But no, I like Burns. I think Josi is almost just as good a deal at such a lower price. It's hard to compare the two, even though they're two of the three to highest priced defensemen. So I don't know. I really don't know how I'm going to play that yet. It depends on where I spend up elsewhere. I don't love Burns against Vancouver for that much. I mean, 8-5, but I mean, you know, the saying on the show, jamming Burns is true. He's good. So I'm reluctant, but I mean, it's not like Josi has that much better of a matchup either. So
no, I know that's the thing. I think Vancouver, I mean, I love their deadline moves for what they did, but trading Burrows and Hansen has weakened them offensively and defensively. I know they're forwards, but these are guys that play decent defense. Definitely Burrows is more known for that checking kind of, you know, forechecking and all that kind of a role. So I think they're just a weaker team in general. Other guys are going to get a chance to shine, but yeah, we can move down the list though. I think we've named the four: Burns, Carlson, Josi, and other Carlson, being John Carlson, that are the more in play type of guys. John Carlson, I think if you could fit in Burns and John Carlson in a cash lineup, with maybe Holland, and I don't want to say Godolbin yet, just because you never know if he's going to be in the top six role. So I think you can do it though. I think it's doable.
Yeah, I just wanted to – I was just looking here. Montreal has one of the lowest Corsi against per 60 on the season of any team in the NHL right now, for going up against Josi. That just makes me a little nervous, where at least Vancouver's sort of in the middle of the pack, although I think of them more as a slow-paced team. That sort of makes me lean Burns a little bit more, just a little added commentary on that. But okay, so where are we going now?
I mean, just cheaper defensemen in general. Is there any guys a little bit down the list that you're really feeling tomorrow? I mean, are we jumping on Shattenkirk, moving to the new team? Is it time that he gets that first NHL goal with the Washington Capitals?
I mean, obviously, Werenski would be my number one choice, but I like Shattenkirk. Who is playing in with? Who is he going to be playing with?
Honestly, hold on. I can go with it back to their last game. I had it up a second ago. But he didn't really get the minutes you might want to see. It could just be like getting acclimated to a new team and, you know, first game there and whatnot. But he played with Nate Schmidt on, I guess, the third unit. But it looks like there was a bit of changing around that went down during the game. He has some shifts with Orlov. Had maybe one shift with Alsner. So I would say it's up in the air what they do for tomorrow. And he played on that first power play unit, Johansson, Williams, Ovechkin, Backstrom, Shattenkirk. So, and they also had, and it looks like at one point they had Carlson and Shattenkirk out there and took off Justin Williams, which might be what they go with tomorrow. So we'll keep an eye on it.
Okay. Yeah. How do you feel about, I like taking Provorov. I like stacking him with Philadelphia. Philadelphia hasn't been playing very well lately, but they played well last game from what I saw. Provorov, a good deal guy, only 4-6. I don't hate that. I don't really see anyone else I'm in love with right now in this middle tier.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ekblad's always he's always a guy that like fits my cash model of what I want to put in. And going against Philadelphia, I think he's still there at 4-6 as well. You just got a good floor on the guy, you know, it's pretty consistent. I don't think he has a zero on the board in this past 10 or so games. I don't think it's going to happen. So I don't mind him against Philly in a decently tempoed matchup. I would say Ekblad in this range, even though OEL right at the same price, and OEL is maybe a better, no, they're both really good players. It's like those two guys, but I think Ekblad over OEL and Provorov tomorrow. Those are three like super good young defensemen, though.
Yeah, I've been stacking. If I go Toronto, I've been liking Zaitsev. He's been so cheap. He had 5 Corsi a couple games ago, blocks 4 or 5 shots in his last 5, a four block and a 5-block game in his last 5. He gets involved. I don't love the matchup for him. Let's see anyone else?
Is there anyone else that really spikes my interest? Not really. I don't know.
Keith Yandel had 5 Corsi last game, but no shots. And we don't know what Florida's going to be looking like anyway. This is tough.
It really is, because there's a lot really of defensemen that feel like that moved around. And I'm looking at him like, where is this guy going to slot in? Like, who's going to be on the power play now? It's kind of tough. I don't really want to make a call for the slate tomorrow that someone that maybe doesn't have the time to really fact check our information. Yeah, it's tough. But I think I'm comfortable with the guys I've taken that aren't super duper cheap. Cheap defenseman. Where is he? Where's the one guy? Hold on, let me just look him up. Is there anyone that you have that's super cheap? I just want to double check something.
Lindell.
I'm actually shocked by this. I was going to say Anthony DeAngelo, but since he's been back in the NHL, he hasn't had a shot on goal. That's
Asa Lindell's 3-6.
Oh, no, wait. He has a couple.
25 minutes last game.
That's actually really sharp. They just traded 2 of their defensemen, so Lindell's role is going to get really increased.
In his last 5, he's played 25, 22, 24, 23, 25 again. So
he was power play 2 last I checked. I'll double check this while you talk. Yeah, keep going if you have anything else on him.
Oh, okay. No, that was all I had on him. I still think that Stetcher is a good play.
He played power play 1 last game.
Oh, wow.
Lindell played Tyler Seguin, Hudler, and Sharp, and Lindell. And Klingberg had connections to them, but Lindell started on that unit. He'll definitely be on the power play, getting big minutes. I think that's a really sharp play down the line, especially because I feel like they're not in love with Klingberg as they were last year. Like, last year it was like Klingberg all the time, the top power play, the top minutes guy. And Lindell might be taking over a little bit. I think that's a really sharp take tomorrow, especially if you're stacking Dallas. You can get Esa Lindell in there. So what I'm going to do right now while you're talking is I'm going to start building a lineup, and I'm going to make one with Burns. Do you want to make – wait, are you done with takes? I'm definitely jumping in there.
Yeah, no, I was just looking up Stetcher's stats. I mean, he's had 2 big games where he still shoots the puck, but he had – he had mumps.
He did.
Maybe he'll be post-mumps now, maybe feeling better. I don't know if I can really recommend him. He's just so low. I mean, his price in the beginning of January was 4-2, and now he's 3-3, with almost no appreciable drop in fantasy production since then. Like, it's just really tough for me to, make that seem right. He had 5 Corsi 2 games ago, 7 4 games ago. He seems like a guy. I mean, he's definitely not. He's not the best play, but at 3-1, I just see it's hard for me. He plays first line. They're going to be playing against San Jose, which might help drive the pace a little bit. Maybe get him some blocks as well. I don't know how big of a blocker he really is. He's had a block in all of his last games. So
you could hit him. Thing on block shots be out there. There are some guys that really do a good job of it. And I feel like there's other guys that just don't mind doing it. And if they're in the spot, they will. I don't know if there's any like really good metrics and really good, visualizations of guys and their block shots. But if you're on the ice enough and you're a guy that isn't afraid to do it, you're going to have a few. And it just kind of helps boost players' floors rather than I think it's a determinant if I'm going to play a guy or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the sim does take into account block shots, which may be some of the reason why Troy Stetcher is favored, is it takes into account time on ice plus block shots in their career. So I don't know what the stats are because the sim does that kind of behind my back, but that may be part of the reason why he's so high. The sim takes into account all fantasy relevant statistics as rates, so his block shot rate per minute or whatever. So all right, you want to make a lineup?
Yeah, I was just kind of building on with Brent Burns while you were talking, and I'm just going to read off what I have. This is not a complete total thing, and then we'll build one on our own without Brent Burns. This is just kind of a rough kind of take at it, and actually I don't like it at all. Maybe I won't do this. I think I'm missing one thing that's going to make this better. Nah, let's just make our own without Brent Burns. We'll just make a cash lineup, Burns-less. Burns-less. I think the first guy I'm just going to throw in there is Pacioretty. I'm on the board. I'm on board with him. So I'll throw Pacioretty in there. Who you got?
I'll take. Is it? We're building a cash lineup.
Yeah, we're going cash.
Okay, I'll take. I'll take JBR.
Okay, that's fine. Hold on, let me fix my mic really quick. It's like messed up. Okay, that should be good. JBR, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm actually gonna build this on FanDuel too and see how it fits him because we completely neglected FanDuel. That is classic. That is classic. This podcast, am I right? All right, where is he on FanDuel? Yeah, they're both pretty fairly priced. So I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with our goalie. I think I'm gonna go with Luongo. He's 7-3 on DraftKings going against Philadelphia. It is in Philadelphia, which is a bit concerning, but at the same time, like, it's a good chance he gets a good amount of shots. I like Florida in this matchup right now, so I'll throw in Luongo for the cheap goaltending option in this game. I think if you're looking at the upper tier, you might want to go Carey Price. He'll see a good volume of shots, and if he can have, you know, he's been hot as of late. His past few games, he's been pretty good, with only one kind of down in his past four. So those are kind of the two I'm looking at as far as, like, shot volume and whatnot. So I'll go Luongo.
All right. And then I'll take Barkov as our expensive center.
Okay, hold on. Got to do it over on FanDuel as well. And Luongo, he's 8-3 on FanDuel, and then you said – Barkov?
Yeah. Okay. Sasha. Go along with that.
Okay. Sasha's in. Let's go cheap. We got to take one cheap guy. Would you rather go Holland or Godolbin? No, we'll go Holland, right?
Yeah, I like Holland.
We'll go Peter Holland. I think his floor for tomorrow, I think he ends up with a two and a half type game at the minimum. He'll be on the ice for at least 18, 19 minutes, and he had a goal in his last game. Buffalo is awful. They hate me, and they want me to keep being sad. So he'll probably score on him, you know.
Yeah.
That is what I like to call. That's what I like to call backed by science take right there. No, I'm just kidding. Holland's just a really good play. Yeah. Okay, so we're done with center now. We have defensemen. Do you want to take one defenseman in particular?
Why don't we take Lindell since we talked about him so much?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. I almost took him, but I you've made the call. Like, you found him. Like, I can't take that from you. I'll go John Carlson as our other guy. I think it's him over Yossi just because I think even though Yossi is probably the better, like, the safer floor, I just don't see them having a big goal game like they have in the past few. And that's really what's been driving his fantasy points. So, yeah, this could be a cool-off game for them. Although, if you want narrative street, then you're jamming in PK Subban, that's for sure. Okay, back to you.
Who do we still need?
Winger, utility. Oh, I got to do this over on FanDuel.
How much money do we have left?
On DraftKings, we have 5-6-5 for two. Like, I mean, we have 5-6-5 each slot. You know what I mean? Like, average.
Okay. How about
Peter Holland's a winger over on FanDuel, by the way, just to throw that out there while we're doing this. So
that doesn't okay. Well, that doesn't make him quite as intriguing as before. I still don't hate it though.
No. Well, we're gonna do it for now on FanDuel, just see what we get.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to spend up on wing, do it.
Oh, we still have money on wing? We already took Ben, right?
No, I mean, we can put him in now. We didn't yet.
Oh, okay. I thought we had Ben, but yeah, no, I'll take, we can spend up on Ben then.
Yeah, Jamie, Ben, then we got 4K for utility over on DraftKings. And if you do this on FanDuel, where is he? Then you have 5K for your last center spot. So on FanDuel, 5K at center, I think that would lead you down the path to, man, maybe Nelson, and the same on DraftKings at 4K. It's pretty desolate here.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I like Nelson there.
I mean, we're looking at utility, though, so we can look at the wings as well. I mean, on FanDuel, we don't have utility. We're just looking at centers alone. Yeah, I say Nelson and, yeah, probably Nelson, honestly.
Yeah, I was doing some pretty cool research today about, like, variance in players' performance by position and salary and stuff like that. And some of the optimizations that I was looking at today kind of suggest that in cash, having a third defenseman, because of how much less they vary in their performance, can actually be helpful. Not that we have to do that here, but just something interesting to think about. The optimizer seems to, based on the variance and the point projections that I was putting in, seem to like playing two centers, three wings, and 3D instead of like a 2-4-2 or something like that. So just something interesting I found today. I don't know who at 4K on D is a good choice, but
Chara's there, and I'm definitely not taking Chara, so I guess that helps.
Yeah.
So this pretty much closes the show. We should be last Tuesday was, I would say, a mixture of me and Matt's fault for not having a podcast out. I had finals and midterms, and Matt was in Hawaii, and he obviously isn't going to record in Hawaii on his nice vacation. I mean, I'm going on spring break from college, and I'm going to Cleveland, Ohio for a weekend. That's my big spring break. I'm going to go see the Lumineers, if you have any Lumineers fans out there, which Doug.
Wait, you're going to be in Cleveland this weekend?
The weekend after. No, not this.
Oh, I'm going to be in Cleveland this weekend.
Oh, come on. You got to come next weekend. I was about to ask you a question that's totally something we should end the podcast and then talk about. All right, so yeah. So Matt goes to Hawaii with, you know, I'm going to Cleveland, Ohio, and seeing the Lumineers, a band that I've seen before and is unreal. So if you know anything about me, I am a huge, you know, concert guy, so.
Yeah, all right, we'll end the podcast here before DJ talks anymore about bands.
But yeah, they'll follow us over on Twitter, though. I'll be as active as possible, but I'm going to be driving a ton tomorrow. So actually, Doug, I'm going to probably let you maybe take the account a little bit. It's going to be I'm leaving at like 2:30, so after that I won't be on much. So follow us, though, anyways. We'll do our best.
Dad's giving me the keys to the Twitter.
Give him the keys. Let's let him drive. You know, the GroupMe is still going. We have, you know, when we first started it seemed like a huge number coming in, and now it's kind of slowly trickling in. So if you want to get in on that, the best way to reach us is on Twitter. So direct message, tweet at us, I don't care. Doug, anything you want to say before we close?
No, just, yeah, join the GroupMe. We have lots of good conversations on there and be able to get the sim out to more people. So, yeah. You ready to go? Yeah, so I guess from myself, DJ, and then Matt, I mean, aloha means hello and goodbye in Hawaiian. So I guess we will say aloha and have a nice slate.